So good morning. It's December 15th, 2022, 10:58 hours. My name is Ward Green, and I'm hopefully going to be with you for the duration of the study today. No reason that I can think of why I wouldn't be. We're expecting some really bad snow coming, possibly very bad anyway. So we'll see what happens. It won't be until later today, tonight, or tomorrow. That's what they're saying. Tonight and tomorrow, possibly, though. Like, possibly both. And then if it ends... But even tomorrow night, it looks like. Well, that's... Wait a minute. Okay, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Based on, I mean, is tomorrow, okay, good, Saturday, right. So tomorrow, it looks like they're saying a lot of snow's coming. They're not really saying how much snow each day, but they're saying late on Friday, too. Very late Friday. It's just looking very bad. And late Friday and very early Saturday morning, there might be snow as well. It just looks like a total accumulation. That might be the issue. There might be a large total accumulation, depending. But that's just what they're forecasting. It can be much less than what they're saying. So... But before we begin today, I would like to share this song, play another song from the November 25th concert by Yosha Stefan Trio and Costel Nitescu. This is the song which is named Just a Gigolo. Thank you. That was Yosha Stefan, the Yosha Stefan Trio with Costel Nitescu playing just a gigolo. I'd like to go back to the solo there. Just let's talk about the solo here. Not sure where. Here. I think this is the one here. I believe it's right here. Let's just advance this. Right here. So, listen to Yosho and listen to the way he builds this solo from, I believe, he starts fairly, I mean, my impression of it is that But I mean, I don't recall it completely. I believe it starts on the lower notes and works its way up to the higher notes, which is what you typically would do on in a blues song. This is not necessarily blues, but it's very effective as a method. This method of building a climax works in songs that are related to blues. Okay, so he starts fairly lower here, right? There he goes higher. Then he goes back low again. A little higher. And then down. Right? Here's the next time. He starts low. He goes up higher, right? He starts higher. He goes even higher. See? He goes quite high there. He comes down. Up and down, and then goes up high. That's the climax right there. That's the climax. Now he works his way down. He's working his way down. Starts low. This is the next round. Starting low. It goes a little higher because it is always. Goes up higher even, right? So you see, blues always, if it's blues, which this is a little bit like blues, if it's blues, it goes up, or maybe this is really blues, I'm not sure, but this goes up, it goes from the tonic to the fourth, so you automatically go to the fourth, right? You're automatically going higher in pitch, and then when you go to the fifth, that's even higher in pitch. The chord is higher, so therefore the solo can go also higher. But and this is what I'm talking about here. But that's the high part right there. Now he's going to work his way down. Now he works his way down. Although there can be up and down. In all along the way, there can be ups and downs, but he works his way down at in the last two bars of the song. In a blues song, that's the way you do it. So, I mean that's the best. That's not the only way, but that's the best way to do it. As a to bring the maximum effect, and you know to make it the best it can be. That's a very classic. It's a great way to do it. And it's almost the only way to do it. It's not quite the only way because there has to be freedom. There have to be other options, of course. But that's a great example. The way he plays the solos, he plays three in a row cycles there, before Costell comes in again. Then Costell on the violin again comes in. I want to go to some videos. This is a video about, it's by Robert Cathcart III, MD, talking about the argument that some people make that vitamin C is wasted on people. Let's see if we can play that.
Well, some of the arguments that have been used against vitamin C is, first off, there was a study which in young, healthy men which showed that when you take over 2 grams, that there is a saturation of the bloodstream and the rest of it spills out of the urine. Well, this is not quite true. What we are interested in is the amount of ascorbate in the tissue involved by the disease. So think of the analogy of a big pie pan with just narrow edges, and that you can't put in water fast enough to bring the level up over the edges of the pan, that it all spills out. But what the diseased areas, it would be like a hole in the center of the pan. And what we're interested in is the amount of ascorbate that goes down into that hole to neutralize the free radicals generated by the disease. We don't care about the ascorbate that's spilled over the sides. And that's the reason why these studies of blood levels of vitamin C don't really indicate anything. What you've got to do is find the levels of ascorbate within the cells of the diseased tissue. But actually, I don't know how you do that, but you really don't have to, because the fact of the matter is that when you use doses high enough, it simply erases the symptoms. It just always does it. And so there's really not much reason to do double-blind studies and stuff like that.
Okay, here's another video by Robert Cathcart, MD, and he's talking about kidney stones, and the idea that some people might claim that vitamin C causes kidney stones. Okay.
The other criticism was that it would cause oxalate kidney stones. Well, no one has ever been able to come up with a series of patients showing that it would cause oxalate kidney stones. Believe me, that would be an easily published article if anyone would be able to do that, and they haven't been able to do it. Well, but then the question is, why is it that ascorbate doesn't cause oxalate kidney stone? Because it's quite true that those of us who take ascorbate have high oxalic acid in our urine. Like, my oxalic acid in my urine is 3 times normal, but no kidney stones. Well, it turns out that if you section a calcium oxalate kidney stone, there is always a nidus of infection in the middle of it. Now they're saying it's a nanobacteria. And the stone grows around this nidus of bacteria like a pearl grows around a piece of sand in the oyster. And so the thing is that we may have the most expensive urine in town, but we also have the cleanest urine in town, is that the ascorbate being spilled in the urine, when you take large amount, is sterilizing the urine. And in fact, some urologists are beginning to use this in people who have to have indwelling catheters all the time to keep them from getting infected. And so anyway, that seems to be the reason why we don't get kidney stones. I've given over 30,000 people massive doses of ascorbate since 1969, and I have seen one or two cases of stones, but they really weren't taking the high doses, and out of 30,000, I don't think that's very many. And as a matter of fact, at least in one of them, what we did was to up the vitamin C and give them B6 and zinc, and then they didn't, B6 and magnesium, and then they didn't have any more kidney stones. Adele Davis years ago had talked about how oxalate kidney stones resulted from a deficiency of B6 and magnesium, and we have found that to be true and a good treatment for these things. But I do say that people who take massive doses of ascorbate should drink a fair amount of water, and you should never become dehydrated when you're taking massive doses of, because you might actually get oxalate crystals in the urine, but there you won't have trouble as long as you drink a lot of water. Urine in town, but we also have the cleanest urine in town. This nidus of bacteria, like a pearl, grows in the middle of it. Now they're saying it's a nanobacteria, and this. There is always a nidus of infection in the middle of it. It turns out that if you section a calcium oxalate kidney stone, there is always a nidus of infection in the middle of it. Now they're saying it's a nanobacteria. And the stone grows around this nidus of bacteria like a pearl grows around a piece of sand in the oyster. And so the thing is that we may have the most expensive urine in town, but we also...
So here he's saying that the kidney stone, oxalate kidney stones, always are caused by some kind of infection, or they form around a bacterium of infection, and that vitamin C kills all the bacteria, and you don't have any possibility for kidney stones if you have a very clean kidney. If your kidneys are very clean, if they're free of bacteria, he's saying, there's no possibility for kidney stones, or virtually none. So let's just transition this now over to our Bible study for today, little children. It's Psalm 75. To the director, do not bring to ruin a melody of Asaph, a song. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks to you, and your name is near. Men have to declare your wondrous works, for I proceeded to take a set time. I myself began judging with uprightness, the earth and all its inhabitants being dissolved. It was I that adjusted its pillars. Selah. I said to the foolish ones, do not be foolish, and to the wicked ones, do not exalt the horn. Do not exalt your horn on high. Do not speak with an arrogant neck. For neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south is there an exalting. For God is the judge. This one he abases, and that one he exalts. For there is a cup in the hand of Jehovah, and the wine is foaming. It is full of mixture, and he will surely pour out its dregs from it. All the wicked ones of the earth will drain them out, drink them. But as for me, I shall tell of it to time indefinite. I will make melody to the God of Jacob, and all the horns of the wicked ones I shall cut down. The horns of the righteous one will be exalted. That was Psalm 75. There are only 10 verses. I think we should keep a prayerful attitude, but I don't think we need to always, you know, without fail, give a prayer before we study. I think that as long as we have a prayerful attitude, we've established a prayerful attitude in our previous studies, and I think we can do that without always praying in advance of our study. So, where did I stumble there? Let's see. The wine is foaming. The wine is foaming. Yeah. But there's a cup. There's the cup again of Jehovah, the cup of rage of Jehovah that he gives to people to make them stagger. And it's not talking about wine. It's talking about the problems that people have when Jehovah, you know, is angry with them. But in verse 10, the horns of the righteous one will be exalted. And this psalm was by Asaph. We give thanks. Men have to declare your wondrous works. Verse 1. Verse 2 is obviously Jehovah speaking, because no human can adjust the pillars of the earth. So verse 2 and verse 3 is Jehovah speaking. He took a set time and began to judge with uprightness. And when the earth and all its people were dissolved, he adjusted its pillars. So the lesson of this psalm appears to be, as is stated in verses 4 and 5, do not exalt the horn. Do not exalt your horn on high. Do not speak with an arrogant neck. And this one God abases, the other one he exalts. Verse 7. Let's look at Isaiah. Next. That was 75. Now we're at 55. And that's not too long either. These are short. Hey there, all you thirsty ones. Come to the water. And the ones that have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk. Even without money and without price. Let's pray right now, little children, just for a little assistance from Jehovah. Jehovah, help us to absorb the information as well as we can, as well as you would want us to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, come buy wine and milk even without money and without price. Why do you people keep paying out money for what is not bread? And why is your toil for what results in no satisfaction? Listen intently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul find its exquisite delight in fatness itself. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, and your soul will keep alive, and I shall readily conclude with you people an indefinitely lasting covenant respecting the loving kindnesses to David that are faithful. Look, as a witness to the national groups I have given him, as a leader and commander to the national groups. Look, a nation that you do not know what you will call, and those of a nation who have not known you will run even to you for the sake of Jehovah your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he will have beautified you. Search for Jehovah, you people, while he may be found. Call to him while he proves to be near. Let the wicked man leave his way and the harmful man his thoughts, and let him return to Jehovah, who will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will forgive in a large way. For the thoughts of you people are not my thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, is the utterance of Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as the pouring rain descends, and the snow from the heavens and does not return to that place, unless it actually saturates the earth and makes it produce and sprout, and seed is actually given to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word that goes forth from my mouth will prove to be. It will not return to me without results, but it will certainly do that in which I have delighted, and it will have certain success in that for which I have sent it. For with rejoicing you people will go forth, and with peace you will be brought in. The mountains and the hills themselves will become cheerful before you with a joyful outcry, and the very trees of the field will all clap their hands. Instead of the thicket of thorns, the juniper tree will come up. Instead of the stinging nettle, the myrtle tree will come up, and it must become for Jehovah something famous, a sign to time indefinite that will not be cut off. This is Jehovah speaking, just like he was speaking in the psalm. There was a quote from Jehovah. This is also a quote from Jehovah beginning in verse 8, at least. It's directly quoting Jehovah. The thoughts of you people are not my thoughts, is the utterance of Jehovah. His ways are higher than ours, in verse 9. He judges the earth, we remember from the psalm we just looked at, Psalm 75. Jehovah judges the earth at the right time. And he can do that because his ways are higher than our ways. Right? In verse 9. and when it rains, that rain does not return to the heavens unless it, first of all, soaks the earth and makes it sprout with plant life and produce comes from it. And in that way also, when Jehovah says something, it takes place. It doesn't return to him without results. But it does that for which he sends it. Verse 11. And he's got a very positive message, verse 12. The mountains and the hills will become cheerful, and the very trees will all clap their hands. If you can imagine that illustration, it's so vivid. Imagine trees clapping their hands. Instead of the thicket of thorns, the juniper tree will come up. And instead of the stinging nettle, the myrtle tree will come up. So Jehovah can actually make the land become productive, but it's talking like he can change the way that the land produces plant life. But trees can become much better trees. Instead of thorns, there can be something like a juniper, which is much nicer than thorns. And as far as thorns being so painful, if you ever get into them, as Brother Hurd was mentioning. Also, instead of the stinging nettle, the myrtle tree will come up. So these stinging trees, bushes that are very painful, can be replaced with better trees, with better forms of life. And Jehovah can do that. In fact, he's saying he's going to do that. That's a promise that he gives. It's famous. It's a famous sign for Jehovah. In verse 13 there. So, what about Matthew? Matthew 5. Oh, this is, we've already studied this. So we don't have to do this today. We've done this. We did the Sermon on the Mount already. I remember doing it. I'm not sure what video that was in now. That's definitely something we did. At some point. And it's very intense. It's a very intensive study. It's a long one, too. So, I mean, it's always good to reread it. You can read this on your own if you want. If you're very eager to do so, that's a good thing to do. If you're conscious, I mean, if you need to, because verse 3 says, happy are those conscious of their spiritual need. If you need to read this because you need, you know, to improve your spirit and raise your spirits and give yourself more motivation for doing good things, then by all means read this, because this is, it's going to make you happy to be aware of your spiritual need and to take steps to fill that need too. If you're conscious of your spiritual need, then you're going to seek things that are going to fill that need, for like good music and good, you know, good instruction from good teachers. Those are the things you're going to look for when you're conscious that you need those things, that you need a better spirit. So all of these things are very, very beneficial. All of what Jesus teaches is very beneficial. He was a great teacher in addition to being a great healer. That's another thing that is, up until now, not mentioned in Matthew, is the teaching part of it. He's teaching here. He was starting to preach. He was preaching about repenting because the kingdom of the heavens was near. And that was teaching as well. But he was also healing people of their physical ailments, and now he healed blind people, he healed deaf people, he healed people with all sorts of diseases. Jesus was able to heal or cure the disease of in people, you know, the people. Do you cure the person or do you cure the disease? I think you cure the disease, you heal the person, and you cure the disease. But he talks about a lot of things in this chapter that I think we should read it soon, but you don't have to read it today if you're not able to, for various reasons. But those of you who desire to do so, I highly encourage you to read it. But that's the one that I'm going to stress today. The verse I'm stressing today from this sermon is being conscious. Happy are the ones conscious of their spiritual needs. So happy are those conscious, or happy are we when we're conscious of our spiritual need. Well, I'm up early today because I want to be up early tomorrow in case my wood gets delivered. If the weather permits that the roads are good enough. But we just don't know what's coming with the snow. The current time is, okay, we have a shorter study today. I think we can probably end our study for today. It was very short. But we covered some very important things, and of course the music and the advice from Dr. Cathcart were very important too. But if you want to see more of Dr. Cathcart, you can go to omarchives.org, and he's got a page with a lot of different videos here, a lot of short videos. But the main page of omarchives.org shows the video archives section has four different either PhD or doctors. Andrew Saul is one of them too. And those uploads are in progress. Were in progress in 2020. He's a PhD, not an MD, but he was taught by Dr. Cathcart. But Dr. Cathcart, if you click on his name on omarchives.org, or any of the other names, I suppose, I haven't watched all the videos by any means, but Dr. Cathcart is the doctor that I'm most interested in right now, teaching about vitamin C. Vitamin C is an orthomolecular treatment, or using molecules to treat illness. And he talks about titrating to bowel tolerance. I've been taking 1 gram of vitamin C every day. I've started taking 1 gram a day because I've been thinking that my disc problem that I had with my back might be one of my discs, but whatever it is, the vitamin C can reduce inflammation, and it can prevent experiencing a herniated disc, according to Dr. Cathcart. So I'm interested in vitamin C for that reason, and that's why, and also I want to prevent infection before it even starts. I want to prevent these colds and flus and all the different viruses that strike us during the winter from getting a foothold in my body. If they do get a foothold, if I didn't take 1 gram a day, I might have to take 4 grams at once, you know, or 6 grams very early on the symptom, you know, very early on in the symptomatic, in the pattern of symptoms. As soon as you get any symptom, as soon as I get any symptom, I take a very small but significant amount. Like, it's not a small amount by conventional standards, but 4 grams or 6 grams, that will wipe out the flu or the cold immediately if it's a minor infection. If it's a minor infection, if it's not a minor infection, I just keep taking vitamin C until it's gone. And that way I don't have any symptoms other than whatever the minor symptom is. I mean, at least this is what I've experienced. I could get some symptoms, but I'm not going to get major symptoms if I take enough vitamin C fast enough. And you don't want to take too much because you want to titrate to bowel tolerance. And that's why. But I mean, you can take more if you're sick than if you're not sick before your bowels will react. So that's what he's talking about when he mentions bowel tolerance. And generally, you don't have to have diarrhea to know that you've cured your infection. I mean, you can take 4 grams and you can feel like your sore throat's gone. I might get a sore throat, and so I'll take 4 grams. And if it goes away, if my sore throat goes away immediately, I won't take any more vitamin C. But it's ascorbate. He calls it ascorbate when it's taken for infection. He calls it vitamin C if it's taken for health. But ascorbate, he calls it, it's the same thing, but he calls it ascorbate when it's for infection. That's just the way that he referred to it later on in his career anyway. I'm not sure about early on. But he talks about, in his video index, there are a lot of different videos here. A lot of videos. Immense number of videos here. He's got there are transcripts, it looks like, from every video. There are transcripts of every video here. So every video has a text transcript. That's how important this material was believed to be, that important, that somebody transcribed every video that he made. And that's why they interviewed him, was because they thought it was so important that people know this. Because vitamin C really does cure all infection, and he used it to treat every type of infection known to man. He used it for everything. And as he said, he treated more than 30,000 patients with massive doses of vitamin C, or what is conventionally thought to be massive in terms of quantity. But we're talking about grams, you know, grams instead of milligrams. But that's, I mean, instead of a few hundred milligrams, we're talking about a few grams. So basically, you know, 10 times. But then, and up, 10 times and more than the conventional amount of vitamin C that's normally used. And when you take ascorbate, you don't need to buy the expensive vitamin. You can just buy ascorbate. That's the beauty of this method and this process, this technique, this what do we call it? This treatment. The beauty of this treatment is it doesn't require the expensive forms of vitamin C that you can buy, which are good also. Obviously, you can buy those, but if you need to keep a store of ascorbate on hand, you don't have to buy anything other than regular ascorbate. powder or tablets and keep a pound of it on hand or something, whatever you might need, or a few pounds. If you ever encounter an infection that requires a pound of vitamin C, then you want to have, such as mononucleosis, for example, that can take a pound of vitamin C to cure. Even for a small woman, it took a pound of vitamin C over 2 days to cure her mononucleosis, and we've talked about it before. Dr. Cathcart talks about it in one of these videos. But every illness, and some, in my case, strep throat, or what seemed to be probably strep throat that I never developed fully because I got rid of it with vitamin C, but what I thought was strep throat took 26 grams to get rid of, and I had some kind of food poisoning, I believe, that took 78 grams. That's the most I've ever taken, and that was over 4 days, though. 4 days, 78 grams, for me, was the most I've ever taken, and that seemed to be food poisoning. It was the worst infection, but I never had more than a very mild sore throat. It's just that if I didn't take anything, I would have gotten sicker. So because it was coming on. When a sore throat comes out of nowhere, you know you're going to get sick if you don't do anything, because it's developing from nothing. It's starting, you're healthy, and then you start getting sick, you know you're getting sicker. So, but the other way that I knew for sure that it was an infection was I could take up to 36 grams in 1 day. Whereas normally that would be beyond my bowel tolerance much sooner. 12 would be, 12, 6 grams might be my bowel tolerance normally. Or 8 grams or 12 grams, whatever it might be, for most people would be somewhere in that area. And then, so if you're healthy, you can take maybe 12 grams and then you get diarrhea. So I could take 24 grams and then the next day 36 grams, so that showed that I had an infection. But I still reached bowel tolerance both of those days, but I didn't reach it until I'd taken that much. So it was like I had a very bad infection, or I couldn't have taken that much. So some people will take 100 grams a day if they have a very serious infection, and everyone probably is somewhat different, but possibly very different. That's the thing, in terms of how much they need to take. But it's a very safe therapy because there's very little toxicity of vitamin C. Because people who have cancer take 100 grams a day, so we know it's not very toxic. Vitamin C is not very toxic, but on the other hand, neither is vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 it has zero known toxicity. I mean, that's the least toxic substance I've ever heard of, and it's one of the best vitamins. I took more of it again today in the liquid MK4 form. I need to talk about it because vitamin K2 is so important. Just for the ability to, I could go, if my back were not in trouble right now with my disc or whatever I have in that I ruptured, some problem with my back, if that were not there, I'd be working possibly much harder. But I have to work anyway because I can't sit down with this bad back. I can't sit still. I have to move and stand up. So it's time to end the video, I think, for today. It's 49-50 minutes long. This is December 15th, 2022, 11:48 hours. Ward Green here. It was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And God bless you. Have a wonderful day. I love you. Bye for now.